And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph J. and Eric Rainer, Trisha. Greg will be here later. And this music is by Tarzan, sang by Jane in the 1950s, accompanied by Cheetah.
Johnny Weissmuller.
Yeah, that's right. Remember him? A swimmer in the Olympics, if I remember. And that's our own Joseph J. Singing.
Ohio.
Ohio is a key state in the next presidential election, by the way.
This is Free Blood singing Never Hear Surf Music Again from the soundtrack of 127 Hours.
Or Ways to Die in the West.
That's one way that you could die hiking. Or How to Lose an Arm. They should have said that. 127 Hours, a.k.a. How to Lose an Arm.
And
because he was stuck in the rock.
That's right. And this hour brought to you by Arrowhead Wealth Management, the best of creating and protecting your wealth. Listen, the founder of Arrowhead Wealth Management on Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network every first Wednesday, 11 a.m. Great financial planner. Give him a call. Conrad Coggeshall, 623-888-3210. That is 623-888-3210. He will appreciate it. Great financial planner. Back to you, Joseph J.
Thank you very much, Dave. And right now, we're very honored and excited to speak with the director of a great movie that opens up next week here in Phoenix. I believe it's already on video on demand, but I think you guys want to see this one on the big screen. It's called Slow Learners, and we have on one of the directors of the film, Don Argott. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me. Hey. I don't know if it's an honor. I don't know if anybody would know who I am, but having
well, me. No, I know who you are because you did some music for Old School, a great funny comedy.
I did, yes, multi-talented guy.
Why don't you start with that? Because I love that show, that movie, Vince Vaughn and who was it?
Luke Will.
I think Luke Wilson and
yeah, it's great.
And
film.
Of course, Will Ferrell.
It was funny. I've been making films for about 12 years, mostly documentaries. And also I've been a musician my whole life and, I've been in bands, since I was, 14 years old.
Me too.
And cool. And I was, I was in the midst of kind of like, I needed a project in my life at the time. And it was probably in the late 90s, probably 98 or 99. I was noticing there was all these, fake soundtrack albums that were lounge music albums that were coming out. And I said, I wonder if there's like a 70s porno music one that's out, and I looked for one and I couldn't find it. I was like, well, why don't I just make it? So I ended up making a CD of fake 70s porn music as a goof, and then it kind of took off, and Ron Jeremy ended up getting involved, and he did a lot of spoken word in between the songs and stuff. And then it was all instrumental music, and I got a call one day from DreamWorks that said they wanted to license a track for the film that they were doing, which was Old School. And that's kind of what helped kick off my production company. With the money from that, we made our first documentary called Rock School, and the rest is history. And here we are, full circle.
That is so cool. It's funny you mentioned Ron Jeremy, because people often tell me I look like Ron Jeremy.
Oh, that's I think they're just trying to be nice.
No, but he's not as skeezy as Ron Jeremy.
But really, there's a lot of stories at the Kentucky Derby last year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, well, how many? 5, 6 women came up to me. And
guys, too, wanted to have their picture. And they're like, that's okay. I know you're incognito.
Yeah, so I take pictures with them. I don't say I'm Ron Jeremy, but
and then a lot of Asian tourists in Vegas get the little hee 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 and want pictures of him. It's funny. It's hilarious.
It's weird.
Well, you should play that up because I think that'll work out for you.
Well, I told him that next time that we're out and about throughout the country, I'm going to have a T-shirt that says I'm with a porn star.
Well, I think that's
all roads lead back to Ron Jeremy.
It's actually a really kind of cool segue into Slow Learners.
Because that slow of a learner when it comes to that? Come on. All right, I may not have the endurance of a Ron, but You know, I can do the 28 minute mile.
Well, Adam Pauly and Sarah Burns play close friends and coworkers who, embarrassingly unlucky at love, hatch a plan to transform themselves over the course of a sex and alcohol fueled summer. So you kind of see where I'm going with that segue there.
Yeah.
So, tell us, you didn't write this, right? You directed it with Sheena M. Joyce?
Yeah, Sheena and I are we're husband and wife, and we own our company together. We actually have a two-year-old now. She was 7 months old. She's actually in the film when we filmed it. She's the baby in the film because she worked cheap, and, you know, she's got good improv chops. Yeah, we did not write the film. We did not write the script, but ultimately this film, I would say, is 90% improv. I mean, We basically took the original idea of the script and, you know, had the actors really kind of, you know, punch it up to make it their own, and there's so much improv in it. So it became a very improv heavy film, which was great for us coming from the documentary world, having this be our first scripted film, that we were able to just use our, you know, our skills in making documentaries and kind of, you know, filming the unknown. I mean, when you're making a doc, you're really just capturing, you know, real life as it happens, and this is obviously a little more controlled because, you know, there was, you know, it was a setup and sets and actors and stuff. But ultimately, we wanted the actors to, you know, to do what they do best. That, you know, I liken it, if you had Jimi Hendrix in your band, and you're like, Jimmy, just play the chords. Don't go crazy with, you know, doing your silly leads and stuff like that. It's like, why would you, if you have the talent pool that we had available to us, like Adam and Sarah and Bobby Moynihan from SNL and Cecily Strong from SNL and Reed Scott from Veep, and all these super amazing actors that are trained in improvisation, comedy improvisation, why wouldn't you let them loose to you know, see what they can do to make things funny? And, you know, it worked. You know, the film, you know, I still laugh, you know, almost 2 years later, and having to sit through this thing, you know, probably more times than I care to, to mention, you know, even making it. So it's still funny to me. So I think that's a testament to, you know, how talented our actors were.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Adam and Sarah are just so great in this movie. I'm going to give my official review next weekend, but, you know, I just do have to, you know, say how wonderful their performances are. We tried really hard to get Adam and Sarah on the show. I know Sarah is out there, I believe, camping or enjoying her Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, I'm in L.A. right now. I'm based in Philadelphia, but I came out for the L.A. opening, and she was supposed to come to the screening last night, and she's on How to Get Away with Murder, and her schedule was a little crazy and couldn't make it out to that. So she's been really, really super busy, so I think she just needs a little bit of a break.
Yeah, of course. Of course, but we're very, you know, happy to have you on to talk about this because, you know, it's a really fascinating movie because, I mean, these characters are basically, as the title says, slow learners, and I mean they're the way that they transform over the film. I mean, especially Sarah's. You know, both their appearances and their personalities.
Yeah.
Was this shot, I'm curious, was this shot in order? I mean, because a lot of films aren't shot that way, but I feel like it would be really hard for this one.
It was, you know, it was a mix. It was, you know, this is obviously, it was a 22-day shoot, you know, 6-day weeks. It was really a pretty brutal film, you know, a low-budget, you know, indie film. You know, it's not easy under the best of circumstances. And, you know, obviously having, you know, the transformation element. Not that they were like turning into werewolves, so it wasn't, you know, that crazy of a transformation. But, you know, it was difficult, you know, to keep everything straight as we were, you know, kind of wanting to make sure that we were getting the tone of, because we weren't able to shoot everything in order. We tried to, but our schedule just would not, you know, kind of allow for that. So we were flipping back and forth. So that was a lot for us to kind of, as directors, just kind of keep a handle on that tonally to make sure that, you know, where they were transforming, at what element in the script, and, you know, how crazy they were supposed to be, because they kind of, once they do, you know, change into the kind of different versions of themselves, you know, there's an escalation or a de-escalation of you know, how their behavior is. So we that was a tough thing to kind of keep track of, but yeah, ultimately, you know, again, we were so fortunate to have the cast that we had that were, you know, super professional and so funny and just, you know, brought their A game on every day of this film. So, yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, and you know, we're fans of Adam and Sarah's other work as well. I know Dave was really excited. About Sarah. I mean, right?
Yeah.
Why is that, Dave?
One of my favorite films is Enough Said, and I know she had a role in that particular film, and I thought it was just an enchanting and charming film. Did you see that one?
I didn't see that. I know that she does have a thing. My favorite film of hers is she's an I Love You Man.
And, great film,
she's
too.
She's so funny in that. And she's got, you know, it's not a big part. And, you know, but that was what we were so lucky with, you know, on a low-budget film like this, to be able to get people like Adam and Sarah, who have been in a ton of things, but they haven't really had lead roles.
Right.
You know, they haven't been given that opportunity because they always go to, you know, kind of the bigger name people. So it's harder for people to see Sarah and Adam as leading man roles only because they never get the opportunity to do so. But I think this film 100% solidifies both Adam and Sarah's kind of appeal as being able to carry a film 100%. So I'm huge fans of their work, and again, so incredibly lucky to be able to work with them. Yeah. And they were just awesome to work with.
And did I see Ivan Reitman's daughter in there?
Yeah, Catherine Reitman, Sofa, and Catherine. You know, when we were casting, the thing about this, the script, the initial idea of the script we liked, but it was cartoony. You know, there was this element of, you know, the transformation in the script never felt real or honest. And, you know, again, coming from the doc background that we have, that was something that was important to us, that the characters, who they were and how they got from, you know, kind of the dork versions of themselves to kind of the cool versions of stuff, that needed to be funny, but it also needed to be real. It needed to feel real. Otherwise, it would have just felt like they're like, you know, it's the equivalent of like, oh, the hot girl takes her glasses off and shakes her hair out, and now she's hot now. Like, it couldn't be, it had to be believable that they would try, and in their trying, they could never really pull it off. But and that's where, to us, the comedy was, is that they could never really fully embrace these characters, you know, and they were, when they got to the kind of worst versions of themselves, they, you know, they never really got it right. And so that was something that we worked really hard with. And when we were casting, trying to find, you know, like Sarah's best friend, and Catherine and Sarah were actually really good friends, so that they had a natural chemistry. So when we were auditioning her, she just stood out, and she had just recently had a baby as well. And so she plays the mom with the recent, so it just all played perfectly. Like, it wasn't somebody who was like acting like she was a mom. She was, you know, so it was easy for her to slip into that role. So, you know, the cast is, I just can't say enough good things about the cast. It was just so fun.
Yeah. And once again, if anyone's just now joining us, we are speaking with Don Argott, one of the directors of the new movie Slow Learners, which opens up in Phoenix next week. We're actually, Don, we're streaming live audio and video on Meerkat as well.
And now we have camera two.
And we have another camera, but we have all of our viewers are chiming in, and one of our questions we have at Joe Wilson TV says, improv sounds like it would be tough to edit. So can you tell us a little bit about the editing process?
Yeah, well, he's really smart. It was very, very tough to edit, especially, you know, doing a single camera, you know, comedy like this. There's a lot of continuity issues, obviously, with them not, you know, doing the same thing over and over, especially, you know, just mechanical stuff of, you know, sitting at a dinner table and, you know, having to deal with having four actors that you're having to cover that are doing a lot of improv. A lot of times films like this, like the Judd Apatow films and Adam McKay films, who we're big fans of, that use a lot of improv, are multi-camera shoots. So like they might have two or three cameras running at the same time. So it gives everybody an opportunity to like, you know, not have to remember when the camera reverses of like, wait, what did I say? And why, what are we using? So it was really difficult, but I would say, you know, more than anything, it was difficult to pare down the funny because there were so many scenes. And if you've seen the film, there's two scenes in particular, the book club scene, where is Bobby Moynihan, Gil Ozeri, Reed Scott, and Adam Pally. They just went for it. And that original cut of that was probably like 17 minutes, the scene of it, because it was so funny. We couldn't figure out how to cut it down because everything was so funny in it. And there was a lot of moments like that, the opening of the film. Adam is on like an unsuccessful date with this amazing actress, Megan Neuringer, who just came in for the day to do this, you know, kind of the date role. And that was the same thing. It was so funny. She just rips him. She decimates him. He basically asks, like, why don't you want to be here with me? And she just lays into him. And it was just so funny. And that was the hard part of, like, figuring out how to cut it down. And it was the worst feeling of feeling like, man, like, the last thing you want to do in a comedy is, like, take jokes out or take funny parts out. But, you know, you have to find that balance because very soon it could feel like it's not going anywhere. So, you know, that we have to find that balance of, like, keeping the film moving, but obviously hitting all the funny, you know, beats that you can, that you want to get in there.
Yeah, and I had the same thought as one of our, at Joe Wilson TV says, the director's cut will be fun. Will we see all this, these deleted scenes?
That remains to be seen. I'm not sure if there is going to be the DVD market doesn't really exist anymore.
Yeah.
So, that's the kind of bad thing about everything being online is that, you know, that there was those, you know, the DVDs that came out that had all the extra stuff on it that I personally still love, you know, from films. But yeah, I'm not sure, but stay tuned on that.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely, you know, keep our fingers crossed. And it's available on video on demand right now as well, right?
It's on demand. Yeah. Through cable providers. It's also on iTunes, on Amazon, YouTube, all that stuff. Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. And again, it will be opening up, I believe, at the Harkin Shea here in Phoenix next Friday, and that we'll give our official review on next Saturday's show. And you know, at Joe Wilson saying that streaming director cuts, I believe that would be a great idea as well.
All right, Joe, let's do it. Let's go into business together.
He's got his attorney now on the on the line. So, Don, one last question. Yes. What's coming up for you? You got some other things in the works?
Yeah, well, you know, again, kind of, we come from the documentary world, and, you know, we haven't left that or abandoned that. So we've been working on a Kurt Vonnegut documentary for the past couple years that we did a Kickstarter campaign for about a year ago, and very excited about that. And I really want to work with Sarah again and some of the actors and Slow Learners. So we're trying to, we have another comedy script that we're developing that we hope to get off the ground. But, you know, this independent film is a tough business. But we're committed to, once, now that we got our feet wet doing comedies and you know, narrative films, you know, we want to continue to do them. So we definitely have other projects in the works and really want to get another, you know, another comedy out there.
Awesome, awesome. Well, once again, Don Argott, one of the directors of Slow Learners, you and Sheena M. Joyce deserve you know, accolades for making this movie. It is funny.
You.
It is hilarious. And again, Adam and Sarah give tremendous performances. So everyone, you know, check it out on video on demand if you can't wait. Or, you know, I suggest go seeing it on the big screen when it's here in Phoenix next Friday. Again, we'll talk more about it next week. But, Don, thank you so much for joining us. And
thanks, guys, for having us. You were great. Appreciate
yeah,
it.
And thank happy you. Labor Day weekend.
Thank you so
Likewise.
Much.
Likewise. Bye-bye.
Take care. Yeah.
Cool dude.
Yeah, very cool. He's, you know, very talented. And, you know, I'm glad that our viewer commented about the improv, because, you know, that's something that we don't think about. You know, if you have a set script,
it's a great question.
Yeah, I mean, a set script. So yeah. You know, thank you very much for Joe Wilson TV. He says it sounds like a cool movie, so check it out, Joe, and all of our listeners. And you know, everyone, stick
is that
with
her
us.
Friend Joe Wilson that did 50-1.
Yeah, that's a good question. No, that was Jim.
Jim Wilson.
Oh, sorry. Maybe his brother. Okay.
Jim Wilson.
But Jim,
you're right.
But Joe Wilson and everyone out there on Meerkat and everyone else, stick with us because, you know, we've got plenty more show here on Breakthrough Entertainment. So we're going to keep rolling. And right now, a little bit. Yeah, that's fine. Eddie Vedder taking us into the break with Hard Sun, the song that ends Into the Wild.
I saw that. Wasn't that Reese Witherspoon?
No, Into the Wild. Not
no, that
Wild.
Was the what's his
Emil,
name?
Oh, that
yeah,
other
Emil
guy.
Hirsch. Emil Hirsch.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't reveal the ending.
I forgot it. I
know what the ending is. Yeah.
I think so, too. Anyway, this is Breakthrough Entertainment live, 1480 AM, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back. When she comes to greet me, she is mercy at my feet. Yeah. When I see a pin of charm, she just throws it back at me.